Ladies and gentlemen, it's 10,000 minutes of pre-Comic-Con jitters with Mr. Skullhead, and this evening we are joined by a good friend of ours and a friend of the game and a friend of the radio. Your mom calls him a lover. I just call him Daddy. You can call him Vaginal Blood Fart or Vag, or possibly even Matt. Not that that's yeah. his name or anything. Well, welcome.
Am I incognito? Is no one supposed to know my real name?
I don't know. There are people who are surprisingly uptight about that. Like, when we said Fusili Bond's real name on the radio once, he acted like we had, like, the black helicopters were going to arrive at his door any minute. Huh. I was like, dude, how come they're going
to... I live far enough away from Game Central that no one would give a shit.
Well, so does he. He lives... Oh, if I say where he lives, then
right.
I'm going to be in trouble, too.
Would he be equidistant?
Yeah, I think he is. I just moved you closer to the mic.
Oh.
I feel like I'm one of your angels, and you're about to give me something to do.
Dance on the head of a pin.
That was my favorite episode of Charlie's Angels, actually. It was the pin dancing episode.
The big hair made it tricky.
It's hard to dance on the head of a pin. It's like pole dancing, but really, really small pole.
And higher stakes, because if you slip, you know, you'll lose an implant or something.
Oh, man. So I didn't do any advance messages. I did one right before we came on.
Oh, good.
So we'll see what we get for questions. We'll see if we answer any questions. I don't know.
I usually keep an eye on radio chat, too.
Yeah.
So that if people are making comments on stuff that we can springboard off into the world of delightful improv and anecdotal bullshit, we can do that as well.
And talking about stuff that has nothing to do with the game. So I've finally now seen all of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies at least once.
Oh, did you pick up that box set at Sam's Club like I did?
Sure.
Gotcha.
No, I borrowed it from you, remember?
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting I loan you all these movies.
Yep. Yeah. And you deliver them to my house. You drive through a series of tubes.
It's odd that I have so much time that any movie you want to watch, I go out and purchase legally and then swing by to drop it off.
I don't know, is it still legal for you to loan people movies, or is that something like... I know the MPAA, the RIAA kept saying that burning CDs or ripping CDs to your iPod, they considered an infraction. And then everyone said, you're smoking crack, eat a bag of dicks, and they said, no, we're just kidding. Go ahead and rip all your CDs. Sorry.
Yeah. That was a big topic on today's one-up, or this week's one-up podcast, was the whole, I forget what game it was that was coming out, where the DRM allowed 3 installs, and that's it. And so, like, if your computer fucks up and you have to reinstall, and you have, say, a laptop and a desktop unit, you know, it's pretty easy to do 3.
Yeah.
So they were like, wow, so all these people, if you look at the Amazon reviews, apparently, they're all just like, fuck you and fuck this game. It's actually really good, but don't buy it to teach them a lesson. And they're going, I get the idea and the spirit of that, but the people you're punishing are the publishers that busted ass to bring you a cool game. And unfortunately, you know, whoever it is that has the final say in whatever high and mighty office goes, 3! No one could have more than 3 computers!
Right.
And they're fucked. So, I don't know. I don't dig on the whole DRM.
I'm kind of waiting for everybody else to figure out what the music people finally did, or what Apple forced them to figure, that it's okay to not have DRM. People will still buy your MP3s even if they can trade them or broadcast them on internet radio, you know?
Yeah, and that was kind of the argument the one-up guys were making, is no pirate is stopped by DRM. All you do is annoy your law-abiding fan base.
And then the main thing is that it's gonna... Every time you try to come up with something that's not going to be cracked, you're wasting all this time and effort, and it's going to immediately be cracked, because you've got 20 guys working on your security. They've got 100,000 guys who are really good at this.
Yeah, they've got 4chan trying to crack it.
Right. So it's like, when are you going to stop throwing all of your money at this and, you know, just relax and not worry about the 50 people who are, the 100 people who are pirating your game?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's showing up to bid at an auction with pennies when everyone else has $100 bills. Like, why? Just don't even try.
Yeah.
Oh, Grimtooth thinks the game was Anno 1404, which, fuck if I know. maybe that's... I don't PC game, and I think that since that's what it is, I have no idea. I mean, the only PC games I play are KOL and a little bit of Twilight Heroes and then World of Warcraft, so...
Yeah, I have, I got Portal and, like, the Orange Box through Steam, and that's pretty much the extent of the PC gaming I've ever done, because this is the first PC I've had that had the balls to do it.
I have yet to have one.
Because I always just found it super annoying that you couldn't just pick up any PC game and play it on a PC. And that's where the console just kicks the shit out of the PC.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I have a PS3. This box says PS3, therefore it will work.
And maybe when your console's 3 years old, the games aren't the absolute best that games can possibly look, but they're compatible, and that's kind of what I'm looking for. I think I'm going to have to play, though, on Steam, you can download now old LucasArts games.
I heard that, and that intrigues me, because I've never even had a computer when those came out.
You should play Loom, for sure. That was one of my favorite old games.
Yeah, at this point, looking at the computers I've had, I'm like, I bet I could probably get Myst to run on my desktop right now.
Oh, American McGee's Alice. I always wanted to play that, too. That was a while ago.
I want to get me some Monkey Island and some... Honestly, I'd like to play, like, Maniac Mansion and Day of the Tentacle.
Yeah.
You know, like, I had, I suppose, the option to play Maniac Mansion on an NES... But at the time, I had no fucking clue what to do with an adventure game, so I was like, this was a wasted rental, and just, you know, put it back.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it wasn't quite the same, either.
Yeah, there's a website I found that basically just laid out, here's the NES version, here's the PC version, and just basically just point by point explains why, yeah, the NES one is just none of the feel that it was supposed to have.
If I find a copy of American McGee's Alice... that I can legitimately purchase, I'll make it available for you. It's like a...
By which you mean purchase a second copy.
Right, and give it to you for your birthday.
Right. Well, would that be better than last year's birthday present?
I don't think anything can be better than last year's birthday present. What was that? We knew that Matt would be upset with us if we spent money and got him a useful and thoughtful gift. Because that, as much as we didn't know too much about you, that just seemed like something you wouldn't be into. So we went to...
Birthdays were counter to my logic, yeah.
So we went to GameStop and bought actually the second goofiest looking game for the Wii. Because, you know, the Wii has 300 dozen pieces of shovelware. That was before, like, Wii Cheer and Wii Babies came out, because we would have got that. But, yeah, like a collection of ninja-themed mini-games.
Yeah, it's called Ninja Reflex.
Yeah.
Which Coda still plays occasionally. She's being 10, thinks it's awesome.
Yeah. I suffered from ninja reflux.
I almost said reflux.
Which kind of sucked, because you just never knew when it was going to happen.
Just like laying in bed and suddenly you have a throat full of throwing stars. Like, oh, God.
I'm tough.
Actually, speaking of the Wii, I picked up Ghostbusters.
Oh, how's that?
Delightful. As a game goes, I'd heard from various podcasts and whatnot that they're like, okay, like, the Wii one, they go cartoony because it just doesn't have the oomph, which is the technical term, kids, to do the more realistic-looking stuff or whatever. But it's still the voice actors and all the original guys. But I did hear on, it was either Zero Punctuation or 1UP, that they actually cut the dialogue scenes short on the Wii.
Huh.
Or someone that had picked it up on, like, a PS3 and the Wii just to kind of see the difference. Setting, like, the levels and everything are basically the same, but the cutscenes where you have all this great dialogue, they trim them down for the Wii, which kind of bums me the fuck out, but not having a 360 or a PS3.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't really have an option, but it is really fun to just listen to Bill Murray be Peter Venkman again.
Mm-hmm.
And just as completely deadpan, you know, over the top, and it's a hoot. I mean, is essentially, as far as a game goes, it is 100% just like on rails, A to B, do this, do that, do this. They almost do not allow you to fail, because the whole point is just to get through this brief, annoying game bit to get to the next cutscene they obviously spent a lot of time on.
Yeah.
So you're essentially playing a game for like 5-minute chunks. The levels are super short and simple. At least I'm only probably, I don't know, 45 minutes in. But just super, super quick and simple, and you can tell that they're just using the levels as an excuse to get you to the next bit of dialogue. But, you know, honestly, I'm kind of fine with that.
I'm trying to convince Jick that I need an Xbox 360 to take the next step in my game development.
Can't you just write all that off?
Yeah.
It's I suppose you have to have the scratch up front, though.
Yeah, right. He can be slightly unpredictable with he's willing to buy something. Like right now, we just shelled out for Comic-Con. He's flying us out there. We have a condo. That's expenses that are necessary for the business, so I don't expect him to go, and here's $400 on top of that. Enjoy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Even if you bought it, you can still write it off.
Yeah.
That's a work expense. I mean, realistically, you should be able to write off any video games you buy.
Yeah, but it's even better if the company just buys them for me up front.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there's no delayed...
People are, so, American McGee's Alice is this, like, Alice returns to Wonderland and it's all post-apocalyptic and gothy and fucked up, is the basic premise. So that got people talking about Tim Burton's upcoming Alice in Wonderland movie.
It's pretty.
If this were 1995, maybe.
Which would have been after what movie?
Well, like after, say, Batman Returns, Edward Scissorhands, even Pee-wee's Big Adventure, I'd be like, hell yes, Tim Burton movie.
But, large and large scarred a generation.
Yes.
That makes me happy.
That's awesome. But yeah. And Beetlejuice, too. But now it's
that's right, I always forget that one.
So, if I told you the guy who directed The Planet of the Apes and Sweeney Todd and Corpse Bride is going to make a new movie with the cast from all of those movies. And Charlie and Willy Wonka and
the same guy?
And Willy Wonka and the fucking Chocolate Factory.
Sorry, that one that sucked.
Yeah, somebody was saying, well, the first half of it was good. I'm like, no.
No.
They're like, hey, Johnny Depp, what you should do is play Michael Jackson as Willy Wonka and then deny it whenever anybody asks you. But
there's nothing wrong with what he does as an actor, which is, let's take someone that's easily imitable, and if I was playing him on screen, they'd be like, that was the cheesiest impression of Keith Richards I've ever seen. But doing a kick-ass Keith Richards impression while playing a different guy, or doing a really creepy Michael Jackson impression but not playing Michael Jackson, it's a perfectly legitimate way to get work. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, for that movie, it just did not work.
There was no need. That's my thing. Like, I'm not 100% just against remakes out of hand, because like if you've ever seen John Carpenter's The Thing... Mm-hmm. Holy fucking shit, one of the best movies ever made, much less just best horror movies. You know, there's a bunch of cases like that where, you know what, sorry, sometimes people have a great idea, but if you made it in 1970, you may have just not had the budget or even the technology to do what the plot or treatment deserved.
Right.
And so, I'm not 100% just out of hand saying, fuck it, if it's a remake, it's no good. But if the original has no obvious flaw, you know, it's just like, okay, this is superfluous and I'm going to make a buck. I don't get that whole, like, oh, we're introducing it to a whole new generation, and then they'll go look up the original. No, they fucking won't. You know?
Especially not if you do that to it.
Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, my kids watch the new one, but they watch the old one. But, you know, they watch the old one because I said, what are they watching? Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Well, fuck a duck, they're going to go watch the good one. I put that in, you know? Like, no, I make sure my kids watch the good version.
It could have been really interesting, though, had they made it, like, they swore up and down they weren't trying to remake the movie, and then they just totally fucking did. If they had, they kept the music stuff from the original book, but if they had actually made a movie based on the book, that would have been kind of interesting. That would have been a useful thing to add to the conversation.
I don't remember the book because I haven't read it since I was a kid. If I remember correctly, the squirrel scene is in the book, but was not included in the original movie because it was considered too creepy.
In the movie,
or is that just the hype?
In the original movie, it was geese laying golden eggs.
I'd heard that adapted it so it wouldn't be as scary.
I think it was that, and also it was just really hard to, like, in the days before CG, wrangle 20 squirrels as opposed to 20 birds.
Yeah, it's like, what child actor would you care about the least that we can give them rabies for the sake of this movie?
Okay.
Cover her in peanut butter and tell her to scream.
You know, cover her in peanut butter and tell her to scream is probably going to be the title of my memoir.
God damn. I'm talking about a young girl, too, which makes it all the hotter.
Okay, I'm just going to look at Tim Burton's track record. We'll see what...
I would say he's honestly more missed than hit.
Yeah, you have some different takes on some of the movies that...
Certainly. I mean, he had a couple breakouts for which people were like, holy shit, but so did Emily Chamalama Ding Dong. And no one gives a fuck about him.
I'm a Shyamalan fan all the way up to, or through The Village. All the way up through Lady in the Water. Even people really didn't like that one, and I didn't really understand why. But The Happening was such a pile of shit.
Lady in the Water. We watched The Happening together, that's right.
Yep.
Because it was so bad, we made you watch it.
Yep. Okay, let's see. I would say Beetlejuice, Batman, Edward Scissorhands, Batman Returns, Edward, Mars Attacks.
Oh yeah, Mars Attacks.
Pretty much all hits. Then Sleepy Hollow.
Wait, do the list again.
Beetlejuice, Batman.
Yes.
Edward Scissorhands.
I could take it or leave it.
Batman Returns, which is actually my favorite of the early Batman.
Yeah.
Edward was really cool.
Edward was neat. I dug that. Yeah. That made me go out and buy Plan 9 from Outer Space.
And then Mars Attacks was just... That's got a lot of rewatchability. That was fun.
I still just pull that one off the shelf and throw it on while I'm doing other shit.
That Sleepy Hollow was just kind of stylishly crafted bullshit. Planet of the Apes was less stylishly crafted and more bullshit. Mm-hmm. Big Fish was pretty good.
I was surprised at how little I hated Big Fish.
And Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, meh. Corpse Bride, way to rip off Nightmare Before Christmas, which actually wasn't your project. Sweeney Todd sucked balls, and I'm still pissed that I sat through that movie.
I was really happy to watch Ali G for like 4 or 5 minutes. And then I was
that was terrible. When you say Alice in Wonderland, it's like, you know, I would be excited about a Tim Burton movie if it was Tim Burton's directing a movie that doesn't have Johnny Depp or Helena Bonham Carter in it.
Yeah.
I'll go, wow, that's amazing. I'm going to have to get right out there and see that.
Exactly. Or at least, you know, like I said, you said, hey, he's doing Alice in Wonderland. I said, it looks pretty. Which is my review of every Tim Burton movie in pre-production. Because that's the true thing about all his movies. They look pretty. But the thing is if you just did all of his movies as, like, let's say a 20-part series of oil paintings,
right,
I would probably enjoy them more than the 2-hour shit fest. Because he has amazing production value. He gets people to come up with really neat, creepy-looking, well, unfortunately, Hot Topic-type stuff for all of his movies, and they're fucking beautiful. And there's not a goddamn bit of anything interesting happening.
No, I would argue that for those early ones, there was some character interest and some interesting shit going on. But, yeah, right about Sleepy Hollow is where it was just...
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking post-Batman Returns.
And I think it's... Like, he needs to learn how to quit Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp is actually a good actor if you have a director who pushes him. But, like, for Sweeney Todd, he's just like, okay, Johnny, in this scene, I want you to act like Captain Jack.
In this scene, I want you to act like the guy from Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, it was just back and forth between those two, like... Stand there and kind of fidget and shake a little bit and don't say anything, or kind of sway back and forth like you're drunk. Somebody said, what about 9? 9 looks very interesting, but it's another one like, Burton put his name on that, he has fuck all to do with it, so it will probably be really good. Like, I know you disagree with me on Nightmare Before Christmas, but, like, both Nightmare Before Christmas and James and the Giant Peach, he had fuck all to do with. He said, hey, Henry Selick, here are some sketches, make a movie.
Yeah. Well, it's like when you watched Tiny Toons. It was like, Steven Spielberg presents Tiny Toons. I'm like, Steven Spielberg didn't have a goddamn thing
right
to do with this. You know, like, fuck that. Like, well, he was too busy deciding how to put walkie-talkies into E.T. at the time.
Well, it killed me with when Coraline came out, though, was somebody wrote a review and said, this here Henry Selick guy is totally ripping off Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
He was like, no. Tim Burton ripped off Henry Selick's Nightmare Before Christmas to make Corpse Bride. That's the way that happened. That's a super nerdy thing to be concerned about, but it's like they did Nightmare Before Christmas and stuck Tim Burton's name on it after Batman hit real big.
Yeah. And let's cash the fuck in.
He really had fuck all to do with it, and it's kind of funny that that's like his signature aesthetic. They're using that fucking font still for the Alice in Wonderland posters. It's that The Nightmare Before Christmas
font. The Nightmare font.
Which also needs to be retired.
Yes. Cobwell or someone says if he's playing Hunter S. Thompson, he's good, referring to Johnny Depp. And I responded, that is his best role ever.
No, he was pretty damn good in that.
Fear and Loathing is probably my most watched movie of all time. That and Clerks, I guess. Clerks is probably still edging it out, just because it's an older movie.
He was, I think Johnny Depp.
Aren't they doing Rum Diaries? I thought I heard that.
Huh, I don't know. Okay, V the Vent says Corpse Bride is based off a Russian fairy tale. I know, but the reason that it looks like it does is because it's trying to look like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Also, I'm not Jick. I have a mohawk and a bigger penis.
Yeah. You're going to have to narrow that down a little more.
Much bigger penis.
I'm the guy who has a bigger penis than Jick. Now, come on, man.
I'm also the tallest jockey. Not much to brag about. Poor Jick, I barely know the fucker. That's mean. Which makes it all the funnier.
So he's going to ask me, like, so how did the Monday show go? I didn't catch it. And I'm like, oh, it was fine.
Don't. Yeah.
Don't worry
exactly.
About it.
I wonder about that, because like two or three times I've made fun of him on these shows in the way I would make fun of you. And I believe I was introduced, shook hands, and that's it. And so I kind of feel bad for doing that, considering I'm basically...
He was a witness at
backyard.
He was a witness at your wedding.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Oops. True. So, okay, that he owes me. Wait.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Whatever. That is still, I'm actually able to look at our wedding picture because it's mounted on the opposite side of the room I'm in right now. And the, out of the people in that picture, you and Jess, we knew for about 2 months at the time.
Yep.
And everyone else we met at about 1 a.m. the night before. And that's like Sly, Jick and his wife, Hot Stuff. Who else was there? Oh, that's Greta. Oh, yeah, Merle. Yeah, and it's just like random people. It's like, oh, we... Hi guys, thanks for coming to our wedding. By the way, my name's Matt.
Well, that's what you get when you get married in Vegas. I'm like, hey, the entire Phoenix KOL crew can come down for that, and then it's a business meeting.
Yeah.
Let's see, PizzaKiller55 says, I want to address this, you won't give a shit. I was just wondering, how do you feel about the new Harry Potter movie being PG? I think it's nice so younger kids can watch it. That, I hadn't heard that, and that's a mistake.
Yes.
That is a scary fucking book, and I'm going to be
I'm not even a fan,
sad.
But I just know that you're so limited in PG-13. And knowing that they get darker as they go, that just seems like a dumb move.
Yeah. That is something that, if you had even the slightest glimmer of interest in it, I would really encourage you to check them out. That series of books, like, I know they were super popular, and they were super popular when I got into them, and fucking everybody reads them, blah, 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 but they are good.
Yeah, you know, I honestly, I'm reading, speaking of reading children's books, Coda got a three-volume set of, what is it, like, Percy Jackson and the Olympians or something like that?
Oh, which, yeah, I heard about that.
Really fucking good. Like, she finished the first one, she's like, Dad, you should read this. And I'm like, I'll be a good father for once and do that. So, and, like, honestly, like, it's a couple hundred pages, but it's, like, kid-sized type and, like, really widely spaced.
Yeah.
So you can knock through in, like, a day or two, like, while in the shower or whatever. And really fucking interesting. Because I've, you know, written for kids that keep the action moving, and it's just like, oh, wow. So I, you know, blew through that one, and she's like, okay, I'm reading the second one. I'm like, hurry the fuck up. So she finished that one a couple days ago, and I just finished it this morning.
I mean, that is how the Harry Potter books go, though. Like, the last couple of books are 800 pages long, and I read them in two 400-page chunks.
Right on.
Because they're solid plot, and they just move. So I think you should do that, because pretty soon here, she's going to want to start reading fucking Twilight. And you can go, okay, read your fucking Twilight, but if you want to read a good book, you can read these.
Yeah. She watched it when we had it. I told you we got it off Netflix, right?
Yeah, your quote was, there's not enough fire in the world, which I thought was pretty funny.
It was, oh my god. It was so bad. And, you know, Greta's like, I thought it was good. I want to get the next one. I'm like, I thought I knew who I married.
Yeah, Jess wants to see it, but we're going to, her,
I'll buy it, and you can watch it for free, right. So you don't give them any money.
Well, her friend Mara is a big fan of the series, and so... They have it on Blu-ray. So, like, you know, someday you can go over and watch that. And, like, maybe me, Adam, and Matt can sit around here and watch some horror movies or something.
I'll bring over, like, Cannibal Holocaust or something, and we can all get hard.
Yeah, so today I watched Nightmare on Elm Street 2, which So I watched...
Oh, that's the weird one where it's like the kid,
yeah.
right?
In this iteration of watching through them, I'd never seen two, so I watched 1, 3, 4, 5, and I thought, nah, I've seen 6 and it sucks, but I watched 6 again, and I'm like, that wasn't as bad as I remembered, and actually
yeah,
4 and 5 are pretty damn solid, so alright, I'll watch 2, and it's like, oh my god.
It's bizarre.
What the fuck? You know, it is interesting, though.
It's the whole thing where they did, like, Season of the Witch for Halloween, they're like, well, let's try to make it a little different so it'll last longer. And everybody's like, fuck you, more Freddy.
It's like, you know what's more interesting than a dream demon who lives in dreams and attacks people in this bizarre world where anything is possible? You know what's more interesting than that?
Slightly suppressed homosexuality.
Yeah. A possessed gay kid who... It was fascinating, though, because having watched a lot of horror recently, there is a lot of, like, objectification of women and a lot of... you know, beating on women, and a lot of, you know, leering shots of women in the shower, skinny dipping or whatever.
Talk about one-handed reading, man.
Yeah, and it's fantastic. But it was really interesting to see a movie where there was all of that, but for men. It was like, the dude is always waking up sweaty and with his shirt off, and he has a shower scene, and it was
You'd
like...
You'd think you were reading, like, Clive Barker.
Like, this is fascinating, is alternate universe of gay horror. Like, if it had been labeled as such... I think I would have found that really interesting, that just the difference between the viewpoints. But as it was, like, trying to pass for, oh no, he's totally got a girlfriend. Nah.
Oh, and Gargoyle mentions liking A Series of Unfortunate Events. I haven't read the books, but I actually dug the movie.
The movie was pretty neat. I read the first couple of books, and then I figured out that it was, like, 20 books long, and they all cost $10 a piece. It's like, I'm not spending $200 to read this.
Yeah. And Toter's reading the omnibus edition of Hitchhiker's Guide, which sits proudly leather-bound on my shelf.
If you stop before you get to Mostly Harmless, you'll be a much happier person.
I was able to just... I read it all in one sitting. I'd not read any of them, and then bought that, and just flew through the whole thing in one sitting, all in one go.
Uh-huh.
And I think I was just so into the universe, it didn't really bother me that there were large points where nothing really happened. So, I was much more forgiving. I haven't gone back and read it in a few years now, but I'm not one of the haters because I wasn't beloved of the series before that happened.
I wasn't, but I enjoyed them. And I thought, like... Apparently the story is he got tired of people saying make another Hitchhiker book, and so he was like, well, fuck you, here's your fucking book. Everybody dies.
Can you imagine having that kind of power?
It's still a super dick move, though. Like, if you don't want to write another book, don't write another book. But that was really here's your book.
We will never approach.
That's true.
I would do it just because I could. It'd be like Jurassic Park. I didn't stop to think of whether or not I should. I did it because I could. You know, after what? You've been doing KOL for 6 years now? 7?
Yeah.
You know, and on the umpteen billionth, you know, why are there 8 beers in a six-pack? Wouldn't you just be like, fuck you? Like, and just make a game that is just purely, no matter what you click, it's just like, eat a dick. And, like, I can see, like, the desire to do that.
Uh-huh.
He's just the guy that, like, hit the tipping point where he did it.
I think it would be more like if, for the June item of the month, we did something where it's a... familiar that drops items, and when you take the item, it just deletes your account.
Or I suppose more likely, if after, another 2-3 years of people bitching about Crimbo,
uh-huh.
It goes back to just Uncle Crimbo dropping off a present. If you click it, your account is deleted. alright, you don't like Crimbo? Fine, now you have a reason not to like Crimbo.
I actually came close to, after the whole Christmas Carol Crimbo, where people were just really shit on that, and that was the one that I'd worked the hardest on. The next Crimbo that ended up being the whole Father Crimbo comes back with the Crimborg and everything, I was sorely tempted to just have Father Crimbo win, and then the next Crimbo would just be a present. You take your present, and you like it.
And that's why it's a good thing that you have a say in the game, and I'm just some douchebag. Because I would
have just done it.
My emotions.
Well, what I do is I vent my spleen all over the forums and like, okay, the 10 people who didn't like this year's Crimbo, I have now told to eat a dick, and now I can make the other 75,000 happy.
Yeah. I've always liked Crimbo. I've never got, and I, you know, it always sounds like I'm sucking your dick when I do these shows, but if you want to know what it sounds like when I'm sucking his dick, come over next Tuesday. But I don't know, do I just have like a low threshold of demand from things?
No, it's just you're not a total dick who goes, wow, look at this gift. This gift sucks, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't open your Ninja Reflux and go, hey, why isn't this a new car?
Yeah.
But you should have.
I'm going to next year. Yeah. Actually, this year. I keep forgetting it's a new year. Fuck, my birthday's like next month.
What day is your birthday?
It's a fest weekend. The 29th.
So I'll come to Fest to give you your birthday spankings this year?
Yeah. Last year I got a pie in the face.
Huh. That's not as that's not as sexy.
Which depends upon who throws the pie.
Judu 2 says, any chance that karma could be preserved while clan hopping? That is a terrible idea.
That is a super terrible idea.
That means that you could...
looters.
Yeah, to be a griefer, you could just make your own clan and get as much karma as you want and then just go loot the shit out of other clans. And then your clan leader would send me a message that says, my clan got looted, what are you going to do about it? And I'm going to be forced to say nothing.
Fuck you right in the ear.
Well, it's true, it's just... there's nothing that we do about clan looting. You're just supposed to not let it happen. Let's see.
I mean, accountability... I think you agree with me on this. Like, there should still be accountability in the world. And, like, making a stupid decision, even if it's done through, like, naivete, is, you know, you learn more from a stupid decision that hurts a little bit. That's why I let my son fall off the couch.
Right.
Because he goes, ow! And I go, see? How'd that feel? And he doesn't jump on the couch.
And it's not that you push him off the couch, but you do let him fall.
Yeah, you know, it's like letting people fuck up and go, shit, okay, I'll be more careful from now on. Whereas if you just made it so that it was perfectly safe, in air quotes, then they're never going to put any thought into it, and eventually someone's going to find a way to fuck him anyway. You know?
And that,
so you take a hit, and then you move on.
And what happens is if we allow the player to abdicate that responsibility, it falls on one of us. So in the, like, 2 hours where my kid is sleeping and I get to do some work, I can either write new content or I can restore everybody's looted clan.
Oh, someone points out that maybe they're talking about keeping your karma. So, like, if you're in clan A, you have 5,000 karma, you switch to clan B, you get X karma, you switch back to clan A, you'd still have your original starting karma.
That, I mean, that could happen.
And I don't see that as being...
if it's tied to your clan...
oh, yeah, so if your character would have a karma ranking tied to each clan it's whitelisted in, which... do people jump clans that much?
I think they are with the advent of the clan dungeons. People go to different clans to get different experiences.
Makes sense, to be able to get in on whatever's open.
Yeah.
And yes, Cope will. My kid would be a puss if I stopped him from falling off the couch. I'm pretty sure he's gay, so that's okay. He can still be a little effeminate. God, I hope he's gay. That'd be awesome.
The problem that I have right now is that my kid is not old enough to learn stuff, so there's really no point in doing that. Just like, well, I have to keep catching him and keeping him from hurting himself.
Yeah, it's your kid got fat and cute. Not that he wasn't cute before. It's just like, you were over, what, last Thursday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday? Okay. I was like, holy damn, he's heavier. But he's a cute little bastard.
Yeah.
And he moves around.
That is getting freaky. Is that like, I can put him in the middle of the bed and turn my back for a second, and I come back, and of course, like
he's like spinning plates on sticks and tottering at the edge.
Well, what's weird, I put him at the middle of the bed and put toys right next to him. So he grabs a toy and crawls to the edge of the bed, and then loses his grip on the toy, and it's teetering on the edge of the bed, and he's trying to crawl forward so he can grab. Like,
yeah,
it's like I'm starting to feel like Roger Rabbit.
That's actually... that's a pretty apt metaphor.
Like, I'll save you, baby! Nope, I failed to save you. Sorry. You know what needs to happen is... I need to go to the...
probably need to stop talking about our kids.
Probably. I think we hit the quota. I'm going to play just a quick little song... because I have to go pee real bad, and I don't want to leave you hanging with no questions to read or anything, so I'll be...
So I don't have time to make a steak, is what you're saying?
Well, like, it will take a longer break in 20 minutes or so, but...
oh, okay, cool. I'll make a steak then.
Yeah, I'm just going to take a couple of minutes and go pee.
Good.
out of school each morning, and it occurred to me that life's just a mood ring we're not allowed to see. And this is what it said to me. My room's constantly small with rubber lined walls, and there's someone always calling my name. He calls when I'm alone, and he calls when I'm not home, and he calls when I'm stuck out in the rain. Don't you try to tag along. I don't monkey see, but monkey's dead. For you it would be wrong. Put a dime in my jukebox, you'll only hear this song, and it won't be fun for long. Because my room's comfortably small, with a rubber line on the walls, and there's someone always calling my name. He calls when I'm alone, and he calls when I'm not home, and he calls when I'm stuck out in the rain.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
Lol.
DJ fail. Gargoyle says there are so many more admin tools than there used to be. Looting really should be under control by now. Yeah, it's... You know, if I was a guy who had just started playing this game and started a clan, and I saw that there were ways to limit clan karma and limit what people took from the clan stash, I would probably assume that there was a reason for that.
Exactly. Plus, if you're in charge of a fucking clan, you know, you create it, theoretically, you've been playing long enough to know some people, and you've spent some time in chat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't think people log in and hammer away on whatever the best meat source is available until they can afford to purchase a clan, and right. Then whitelist the fuck out of everybody.
It is strange. The looters are subtle. I've seen some long-standing established clans get looted, and that's the time when I think, well, if I was going to make an exception, I would make one here, but I don't. As much as I'm a fan of treating people unequally, you know, I never understood when, like, a teacher would say, if I let you go to the bathroom during class, I'd have to let everybody. Like, no, you don't. I have to go to the bathroom real bad. You can just let me. That wouldn't be fair, but you're always telling me that life isn't fair, so what's the problem?
Speaking of going to the bathroom, I'm amazed I haven't had to yet. I got one of my coworkers has a relative who works at like a 7-Eleven or some shit, and so he got me one of those like 52-ounce coffee thermos mug thingies with like the handle on the side,
mm-hmm.
and so I can brew a pot of coffee at work, fill the entire thing, and just drink that.
Hmm.
So I worked at 11:30 today, drank one of those, and I'm now 5/6 of the way through my 40. I'm like, man, I should really have to pee by now. But in case that doesn't work, I've got another 40 in the fridge waiting. So, between the two of them.
Yeah. Somebody was saying some interesting stuff.
Doubtful.
No, it happened. I'm sure of it. Damn.
We had such fun. Oh, what fun we had, Papa.
Oh, somebody linked me to something called the Internet Urinal.
Yep, got that pulled up in another window.
There's basically, you know, it's a 32-ounce container that you can pee into.
I mean, it's like, purely one of the hospital containers.
Yeah, but for me, it's like, I have other 32-ounce containers in my house, and I have a functional penis. I could pee into just about any container that'll hold 32 ounces.
I have a laptop. I can just walk over to the sink.
I mean, peeing in, like, a mixing bowl that held 32 ounces would have some ramifications.
Honestly, though, 32 ounces of piss is a lot of piss, man.
That's what always scared me. That's why I would never pee in any kind of container in a car. It's like, what if I have more than this container can handle? I think the one time I tried it, one time I did in the back of a van, and that was cool. That worked out fine. It was a giant cup, but the one time I tried to do it while driving,
trickier.
That was fucking messy.
I was going to go to a job interview once, and it was like, Jesus fuck, I've got to piss. Like, this is planned poorly. I'm in a part of town I've never been to. I was in a gas station in miles. Holy crap, 20-ounce, like, Mountain Dew bottle. I can make this work. And, like, sure enough, skipped the interview because I couldn't make it work without pissing on my pants.
Yeah.
God damn it.
It would work if your penis was a smaller girth than the top of a soda bottle, but mine's certainly not.
I can aim and not miss, no.
Yeah. Need some kind of pee funnel.
Yeah, one of my friends, you met Frost.
Yeah.
If you don't actually know him well. He was over the other day and was relating that he'd gone to apply for a job at a rather upscale restaurant for a bartending gig. And, you know, shows up all decked out in his nice gear or whatever, and he shows up and he walks in. Like, the hostess is just like, what do you want? It's like, wow, okay. I'm here for an interview. She's like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah. What the fuck? You know, like, okay. He's, you know, but he's trying to get a job, so he's nice. It's like, these bitches are cunts. And they go back, get whoever, and everyone is, like, coming out of the corners of the restaurant and, like, whispering and, like, looks just, ugh, right?
Yeah.
Goes over and they're like, sure you don't want to, like, go to the bathroom or anything? He's like, what? No. And he goes and does the interview, you know, lays out all the skills and stuff he has, which are substantial. Like, if you've ever had Frost make you a drink, you know that they're good. And they're just like, yeah, you're just not what we're looking for right now. He's like, oh, okay. And so he's like, all right, fuck that. Well, I'm going to go hit the bathroom before I leave, at least. Goes in there and realizes as he's walking past the mirror that those chocolate-covered peanuts he got at Menards a couple days ago.
Oh, man.
He dropped one, but was sure it was on the floor. Nope, on the seat.
Oh, lovely.
And so he has the big brown shit stain across the back of his nice dress slacks, which made everyone assume he was like some creep on drugs.
I see. Yeah, I guess it would.
Completely blew a sure thing interview for him.
Ah. And somebody said they could barely smoke while driving, let alone peeing. Yeah, I used to be able to. Like, there was one time I changed my entire outfit, top and bottom, while having a drink with no cup holder. And smoking a cigarette.
Nice.
Back in the day. When I was still smoking. But it's a miracle that I survived doing shit. Like I used to masturbate. Driving from Phoenix to Flagstaff. It was a 2-hour drive. And there was really nothing else to do because my radio didn't work. So.
Cacti? Hot.
I used to, you know, I'd have my dirty laundry with me because I was going to my parents' house. So I didn't, you know, grab a shirt out of there and masturbate while driving. I have no idea how I pulled that off.
That's
no
pretty
pun
impressive.
Intended.
My biggest car almost death. Probably my biggest. Without going into like clown suits, was about 16. My parents had a Ford Aerostar minivan, which, you know, honestly, if you're 16 and you finally get your license, that's the car to pick up chicks in because you can fit a lot of them in.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah, the chicks not in minivans. But I went golfing a couple towns over. With three of my buddies, we're leaving, and two of my buddies are in the car ahead of us. And because you're 16, like, you know, if two of you are driving, you basically, one of you has to, like, just take off, be like, haha, I'm going fast, and the other one feels compelled to do the same.
Yeah.
Which, I don't get that, and it wears off quickly, but, you know, at 16, that's what you do. So we're leaving this golf course slash, like, jogging trails, whatever. I believe it was James, takes off, hauls ass. I floor it in the fucking Aerostar. And it's in the country, obviously, because it's a golf course, so it's all these super hard curves with, like, the slow 20 mph thing. I'm doing 60. And it, you know, just making it, the van's leaning every time we do it. And about the third one, that's it. The van goes up on its two left wheels and does a full 360.
Mm.
And it hangs there for a second. And I look at Craig in the passenger seat, who looks at me, and I've seen the face of fear. And that is it. Because And it, we weren't worried about dying. We were worried about what my parents would do to us.
Yeah.
And we stare at each other for the split second, and the van just pauses in that one endless moment. And then, whoomph, back on all four. We see two hubcaps just go zing, zing, flying out ahead of us. And then this huge cloud of white smoke obscures everything. We look at each other and immediately just start screaming. The joy of those that are still alive. The joy of those that will probably not be punished. And the car ahead of us, meanwhile, just and does like the cop stop. We're shaking like I have not been for ages and only once or twice since. We climb out of the car. And then, of course, the two douchebags in the car ahead of us are like, that was fucking awesome! And we realized at that point that Craig, who had a like McDonald's cup full to the brim with ice and soda, has not spilled it in that whole escapade.
Yeah.
And we go, yeah. So then the four of us dig around in the ditches until we find the two hubcaps, kick them back on the tires as best we can, and took it home. And it wasn't until years later I told my parents that story, at which point I think I was probably in my early 20s. They still wished they could ground me. Like, that's when I learned that, you know, honestly, it's just not that cool to be a dick in your car.
Yeah.
I'm a guy that drives the Speedland. I've done enough.
Back in the day, nobody should have given me a driver's license. I would get confused making a left-hand turn, and I would drive down the wrong side of the road.
Yeah, like, done that.
I got in several minor fender benders. Like
my first car, what do they call it? Driver's exam.
See, we in Arizona, if you take a behind-the-wheel class, you don't have to take a driving exam.
Are you shitting me?
No, and I didn't do that well in behind-the-wheel, but I passed. So I didn't have to take the driver's exam, which I would have probably failed. But yeah, just minor fender benders from changing CDs. You know, like,
yeah.
The time I changed all of my clothes, no problem, but... Geez, yeah, ask Jick the next time you see him, if you see him again, and he will gladly tell you of the times where he thought his life was forfeit.
Yeah, and it's... You know, I've done one or two of those. It's... I don't know. Yeah, I had many close encounters with, like, horrifying death, and then... Like, backing out of, like, parallel parking, hitting the car behind me, and just, like, doing that long paint scrape and being like, fuck.
Yep.
And, you know, no one's around, so getting out and using my floor mats to, like, wipe off as much of the paint as possible, and getting for what used to be, like, a 2-foot-long scrape of paint and a huge dent down just this little divot and a streak of paint. And then, you know, going into back into the graduation party I was visiting and finding out, yeah, I'd hit my English teacher's car. Like, motherfuck. You know?
One of those...
like that.
One of those minor fender benders was with my junior high school gym teacher.
Oh.
That was fucking scary. That dude, he was like 5'6", but a square.
Yeah.
A square made out of muscle. So he comes out of the car, you know, the arm's so big that he can't touch his own cock. Like,
yep.
That guy. He's like, well, looks like there's no damage. Maybe you ought to pay closer attention. Oh, shit, maybe I should.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, if you're lucky, those guys know they're scary enough that they don't have to flip out.
Right.
And they just, like, scared you shitless.
Well, if I had been thinking clearly, I would have thought, so the junior high gym teacher beats the crap out of a 16-year-old, that's not going to look good for him. But that's not what you think when the dude comes rolling out of his car.
Not at all. Nope. The idea that, like, the second someone that's over 18 punches you when you're under 18... win.
Right.
Like, yeah, that doesn't come to mind, because you're like, I'm about to get punched in the face.
Artie FM says, you know, you guys like to make fun of Judge Dredd, the movie, here and there, but I'll tell you, it was way better than Dredged Judd, where Judd Nelson, Ashley Judd, and Judd Hirsch are tossed into public waterways and contestants compete to recover their bodies for cash and prizes. I am hugely... I'm hugely skeptical that was not way better than Judge Dredd.
Honestly, yeah, I was going to say, let me think, my remorse for any of those people dying is nil. I just don't understand the recovery. Like, just leave
them. Well, it would be fantastic, because Judd Nelson, his, like, reanimated corpse would go, you know what I got for Christmas? It was a banner year. I got killed and dumped in a canal.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, like, if Ashley Judd was, say, nude, or if Judd Hirsch was nude.
Yeah, I don't...
Ashley Judd's sexy. What?
No, not really. She had a weird flickering moment of popularity.
In
she was in like four or five movies in like the late 90s that was just like boom, 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 boom. And she was just like, she was the Sandra Bullock after Sandra Bullock faded a bit. And then it just faded just the same. Just disappeared off the fucking radar.
I don't think
I've seen... still making movies, but...
I'm not sure I've seen any movies with her. I've just seen, like, the clips from Norma Jean and Marilyn where she's topless.
She was in, like, Kiss the Girls. She was in Double Jeopardy.
Nope, nope.
None of these were good movies.
I have a wife, so I've seen The Divine Secrets of the Aya Sisterhood. She was decent in that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. Because I have a wife that's not a girl.
Right, except for Twilight.
I know, that's the weird thing. That's why it's so jarring. Because she is absolutely not into, like, girly stuff. And then every now and then it's like, I love them. Like, what the fuck? Like, we watched Cannibal Holocaust and you were offended it wasn't more violent. You know? We watched Solo, 120 Days of Sodom, and you're like, that wasn't that gross. Like, these are movies that were banned for decades, and you're going, eh, I've seen worse. I'm like, no, you haven't. Like, better, tell me more about your past.
That's nothing compared to the snuff films my uncle used to make.
Oh, exactly. It's like, shit, we used to go out in the tool shed.
It's like with when, very similar to when Jick, who's kind of a music snob, and, like, I like all of the music that he likes, and he hates 90% of the music that I like, kind of thing. So, like, I was ranting, you know, just to make conversation where you're expecting agreement. Like, God, that Hoobastank song, The Reason, is everywhere, and I can't stand it. Stupid corporate radio. And he goes, that's a good song. It's catchy. I like it. Like, what?
And you have to wonder if they're fucking with you just to be able to go, ha-ha, I'm trolling.
Yeah, just for you to go, okay, I guess it's not that bad. And they go, ha-ha.
Yeah, I don't get it. But then again, I'm the guy that, like, hates everything as a total dick, and yet collects tea sets. Like, it, you know, completely incongruous with the rest of my personality.
Well, I was surprised as hell, like, when we went to karaoke, I was thinking, what the hell are they going to have here that Matt Alex is going to sing? And then it was...
Did you give me my last name?
Yeah. You don't have a last name. You have two first names, motherfucker.
Safe.
And you don't even know how to spell the last first name. But and then you sang that you busted out the Billy Joel.
It's because it's a talking song. I don't sing that because I like that song. But it's my selections for karaoke are songs that don't really require singing.
So you can get up and just go reluctantly crouched at the starting line?
Essentially, yeah. So I do Hey Bartender by the Blues Brothers. I do... what's the name of that Billy Joel song? I just completely spaced it.
Was it You May Be Right?
I could probably do that, too. I've never done that one. But yeah, I mean, songs that you can basically do the... oh, shit, what's her name? The chick that was the teapot on Beauty and the Beast.
Angela Lansbury.
Thank you, Angela Lansbury. She also cannot sing. She talks all her singing parts.
Yeah.
You know, I take her route, which is where she was in Pirates of Penzance, she was in that, she's probably done more. And, like, if you can talk in rhythm, people will assume you can sing if you select careful songs. And so that's what I do in karaoke. Like, I enjoy kind of getting up and just having fun, but I am no singer, so...
Are you telling me you're that there's another person in the world that's seen the Pirates of Penzance, like Kevin Kline and Angela Lansbury?
I love that movie.
Yeah, me too.
That's my musical theater exception. We did that play when I was in a sophomore in high school, and I had an absolute blast. That was my first theater experience. And as one of the cast parties, we watched the Kevin Kline version, and I was like, this is fucking great.
Well, Kevin Kline's one of those dudes. If he's in a movie, there's going to be something worth watching about that movie.
Yeah, exactly. I'd watch Meet a Bowl of Cereal. You know, like, he's just interesting.
But have you seen The Pirate Movie, which was a 1980s update of The Pirates of Penzance with, like, ridiculous 80s music?
What movie?
It's just called The Pirate Movie.
Oh, yeah. I remember, like, when you Google Pirates of Penzance, you find The Pirate Movie.
Yeah, it was a pile of crap, but it was really entertaining.
I still haven't seen Repo.
Huh.
Which bums me out. It's on my Netflix queue.
I can buy you a copy of that and a copy of Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
That would be delightful.
I think for our next movie night, we should do Hedwig. Repo's kind of tricky to do if there are kids in the house, because it needs to be loud. And it's kind of scary and weird.
Yeah, see, like, my kids, I just Austin's too small. He doesn't fucking know. And Coda just looks at the first sign of weirdness and goes, I don't think I should see this, and leaves the room. I don't even have to do it.
Huh.
Which is great.
Let's see. When I made my system announcement, I said, ask questions or we'll just talk about horror movies for 2 hours. And everyone's
so
going...
So have you actually been on that big of a horror kick lately?
Yeah, just once I figured out that while I'm feeding Oliver, I can rewatch some of these movies that I wanted to rewatch and watch some that I haven't seen before. I've been. It started with the first, with the Nightmare, the Friday the 13th remake.
Mm-hmm.
Which ended up.
I haven't seen that. I kind of assumed it would be what it was.
Surprisingly good, actually, because they. Like, if you took all of the Friday the 13th movies and just got rid of some of the ridiculous bullshit. And just like, okay, within the first movie, we're going to make it so it's Jason. We're going to do Mrs. Voorhees thing as like a pre-credit thing, and then it's just Jason. He's going to have the hockey mask by the middle of the movie, and people are going to get naked and killed in rapid succession. So it's
the first three movies are basically condensed into one.
Yeah, so it's a really efficient... It's not scary, because modern horror is just too slick.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those movies were never scary. They were movies where you cheered for the violence.
Yeah.
You know, like, I still haven't seen, what's it called? Drag Me to Hell?
Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, I'm a huge Evil Dead 2, you know, Army of Darkness fan.
Hmm.
And so, of course, I was more thrilled than anyone that, you know, Raimi's going back to doing horror. And just, but, you know, we've got kids, and so, therefore, I get to see maybe three or four movies a year in the theater. And somebody I was talking to was like, man, the people I've talked to said it wasn't scary. I'm like, well, of course it wasn't scary. Like, Evil Dead 2 isn't scary. Army of Darkness isn't scary.
Uh-huh.
But all kinds of gross, crazy shit happens, and you cheer. If it was that, I'm perfectly satisfied, you know? Like,
I've
seen scary horror movies, but, like, you know, that doesn't need to be one. I just want it to be cool.
It was
I feel like
cool, but
Friday the 13th was always that, too.
It did linger, though. I was surprised. I was expecting... Like, that was pretty good, but by the time I get to my car, I'll be over it. But driving home by myself, I was actually a little bit freaked out. So there was a scariness factor. I still, like, my favorite horror movies are probably Nightmares 1, 3, and... Actually, 1, New Nightmare, and 3.
Yeah. New Nightmare's got that creepy fucking kid, man.
Yeah.
He was, what, Gage in Pet Sematary?
Yeah, because nothing is... I've never found just the regular slasher movie scary, because, like, as Scream finally pointed out, just kick him in the balls.
Yeah.
You know, if the dude pops up...
If it's a perfectly human killer, you've got as good a shot as anybody at bringing him down.
Yeah, kick him in the balls, shoot him in the head.
Yep. And then when you think he's dead, shoot him four more times.
Yeah. But
and then when you think he's dead, decapitate him.
Pet Sematary, where it's... somebody that you know and love who dies and you bury them and they come back and they're somebody you know and love except they want to kill you, that's really tough. They've beaten death. Like, what are you going to do with that? The scariest fucking thing is the Hitchhiker episode of Creepshow 2.
I haven't seen either of the Creepshows.
They're super cheesy, but cool.
And I'm fine with that, but, you know, I appreciate horror from pretty much any end of the spectrum, you know, like, I like the truly, like, the ones that, like, I sleep with the lights on for a couple nights, which I still do, like, one of the reasons I love horror so much is that I like comedy and horror, because I feel like those are the two types of movies, those genres provoke a very real, visceral, emotional response. You know, if a comedy is good, you laugh, not because you want to, but because it makes you do it.
Yeah.
If horror is good, it scares you. Not because you want to be scared, but because it forces you to be scared.
Yeah.
You know, you can watch all the drama in the world, you can watch all the other, you know, rom-coms, and it's a very passive thing. I feel like those two movies should be elevated much higher in people's esteem than they are, because they're the ones that really get you to do something. People think comedy's easy. Well, anyone that's ever tried to be funny knows how fucking bullshit that is.
Yeah.
People think scaring people is easy. Anyone that's ever jumped out and said, boo, and had someone give them the finger... knows just how bullshit that is. You know, like, the idea that these movies make me feel emotions that even if I don't like them, I still feel.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. You know? So, I don't know. Like, with the horror, I'll watch the shitty zombie movies where you can tell it's just oatmeal on the guy's head or whatever. Those are fine. They have their time and place. But, you know, the really... Oh, what was that one? There's a Italian movie collection called... I think it's Six Films to Keep You Awake. And it's, like, little hour, hour and a half long short films, kind of like the Masters of Horror series, except in Italy.
Mm.
And one of the six is called, I think, The Baby's Room. And that one had me and Greta up the entire night until it got light out again.
Mm.
And still didn't sleep for the next couple days, because, especially having kids, it, you know, the whole premise is basically, like, move in a nice house, you know, old school house, you have a baby monitor, you keep thinking you hear something in the kids' room. What's scarier than that to a parent?
Yeah.
Not a goddamn thing. Well, what should we do? Well, let's put a video in there so we know it's nothing. And you wake up at 3 a.m. and you see someone in your kid's room. Oh, I guess that was scarier than hearing something in your kid's
yeah.
room, you know? And it's an hour and a half of just pants-shitting terror for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and she, we get down, she's like, oh my god, I hated that. I'm like, I fucking loved it. I can't sleep for the rest of the night, but I fucking loved it. It worked, you know? And I'll take that over the remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Prom, whatever.
I'm interested to see what they do with the Elm Street remake. Jackie Earle Haley is perfectly cast.
It's a great idea. Oh, brief aside. Hey, Shifty Steve, I'm now mentioning Guinea Pig. I've not seen it. Sorry.
Although what was great about the Nightmare movies, having seen them all again, is the fantastic practical effects. Like skin stretching and things ripping through and... You know, all kinds of weird, bizarre stuff, but it's all happening in camera. So if they just super CG it, sure, they can show you anything they want, but it's gonna suck. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they won't have the budget to do that, and they'll have to do it the old way.
Yeah, I don't want, like, a crazy... Freddy was theoretically able to do anything he wanted because he was a dream demon or whatever,
right.
But never got all that crazy, wacky out there. It was essentially always like, okay... I'm trapped in a fucked up situation, but it's a dude in a sweater with knives.
Yeah.
I feel like a puppet controlled by a dude in a sweater with knives. And like, I don't want to go see this new one and have, you know, Freddy turn into a 70-foot Godzilla monster who, you know, makes the door, you know, all that bullshit that you'd have to do in a computer. Like, I keep it freaky, because a dude in a sweater with knives on his hand is scary enough, man.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that he can just, no matter what, make you be trapped is enough. I mean, that's every bad nightmare I've ever had, is me trying to flee the terror, and I can't get away. That's enough. Like, Wes Craven hit that on the head. He's a guy that's pretty hit or fucking miss.
Oh, yeah.
But that's when we got it right, you know?
Yeah, by the end of the Elm Street series, I was missing just the, like, Johnny Depp gets sucked into the bed and just fountain of blood.
Yeah, just super simple, super raw, and creepy. You know, by the end, it was like, okay, what kind of crazy murder set piece can we set up? And don't get me wrong, I mean, like, with a Jason movie, I feel like you need creative kills.
Yeah.
Because that is otherwise just a dude with a knife. Like, that gets old. If you ever want to look at a great dissection of horror movies, check out Head Injury Theater. A dude named Jared, I think he lives in Germany, watches mostly super, super shitty movies, which are hilarious. He could use an editor, because his spelling's not always great. But, watches shitty horror movies and then writes a review where he makes fun of the bad parts and talks about what he likes, and, you know, just they're really entertaining to read. And he's done a retrospective of the entire Nightmare on Elm Street and the Friday the 13th movies, and they're pretty fucking fascinating. He's also a really cool artist, and he's a KOL player, I guess, because he's done a series of paintings that were like Disco Bandits and shit.
Yeah, I have a piece that he did for me. He's actually going to be in the 2010 calendar.
Okay, then you know how to get a hold of him?
Yeah.
Do this, because I sent him an email to his website saying, hey, dude, I want you to do a family portrait. I'll send you a picture. Give me my family as zombies. I will pay you for the original art, and then I plan on getting the tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not heard back in like a month.
Hmm.
So he may be like, ooh, you're talking to me. I should listen. So, I was like, you know, I'm trying to figure out a cool way to do a kid tattoo. And I decided, honestly, like a tattoo, like, you know, baby's feet and all that stuff, other people don't, fuck that. I want a tattoo of my kids as zombies.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I feel like he's the guy to do it. He's got that really awesome art style.
Huh. Toter says, how about the Phantasm series? I saw the first one that was kind of creepy.
I saw the first one, and it didn't make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, I think, watching it while taking a bath and dozing off. So I should probably give it another shot. I've heard, what is it? Was it two that sucked, and then three was good again? Or was it two was awesome, and after that, they sucked? There's something like that about that series.
After watching the first one, it seems like any explanation would be kind of unsatisfying, because you've got, like, big, tall guy throwing razors at people, and then just basically little Jawa-looking things running around and stealing dead bodies.
Yeah, people in water barrels and bringing them to Mars.
Yeah, and that, that's fine. You know, I don't need to know why.
Yeah, but I dare you to pitch that movie today. the 80s were a wonderful time for horror because they went, what's the plot again? Never mind. Will it be scary? All right.
Yeah.
You know, and if there were boobs, they greenlit it.
That's what got me, watching these old movies is that they were all rated R. And they were all aimed squarely at people who were too young to see rated R movies, but that was fine back then.
Yes.
So they, you know, you can say, Freddy, you motherfucker! And then somebody can show their boobs, and, you know, that was quality entertainment for a 16-year-old.
First one, I believe, Toter. Weird. I don't know. There's a lot of those, like, horror franchises that I feel like I've not seen enough of. I mean, I've only seen the first Halloween, the first Phantasm, the first Hellraiser.
Mm-hmm.
But my understanding is I'm not missing much.
Hellraiser 2 and 3.
Yeah.
You should definitely check out.
Cenobites are cool looking, so, like, I dig that. But,
Hellraiser 2 is basically just Hellraiser, only more fucked up. More of it takes place in hell. There's more people getting weird things stuck in them. Hellraiser 3 is pretty much your villain is now the hero. And it's just how many weird monsters can we come up with? Let's have a guy who spits CDs and embeds in people's heads. And
because CDs are all new.
Yep. So that the third one's really fun. The first two are really disturbing. And the fourth one was a pile of crap.
If you haven't seen it yet, speaking of Clive Barker, Run, Don't Walk, and see Midnight Meat Train.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking phenomenal.
That may be the next one that I go out and purchase.
Yeah, because it was for free on demand for 2 or 3 months from the Comcast cable company.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it 2 or 3 nights in a row while Greta was working overnights, and then when she stopped working overnights, I made her watch it.
Hmm.
Like, it was that good. I've probably seen it 4 or 5 times already.
Yeah.
So...
Let's see, KOL Girl 21 says, in your opinion for high school science, bio, chem, or physics? I want to take physics. All three, but might not have time. Yeah, definitely physics.
I mean, take all three if you can. My God, yeah.
Chemistry, I didn't have that much fun with.
Chemistry is drier, but there's a great understanding that can be gleaned from that, especially I think if you combine it with... other, you know, once you have an understanding of, like, a bunch of other things, you can go, okay, and then the chemistry might help you understand the background.
Mm.
But chemistry on its own, just like, you know, A plus B equals C, it's more like math.
Yeah. I think that's why I did poorly.
Yeah. I mean, my dad is a physics teacher, and I failed out of his class right as I failed out of high school. So I'm totally not the guy to ask.
Yeah.
But that's one of those things that it's just weird. I feel like high school is wasted on teenagers. Because if you gave me the chance to go take a physics course right now for like 4 months for free, I would love to. But I did not have the interest in like that kind of stuff until 2-3 years ago.
Let's see. Casey Wiederman says, I'm doing a Wikibus run and I find I'm having a lot more fun with it. How do you feel about the Nintendo Power Age of games in which play is dictated by limitless information? As a developer, it's kind of freeing because we can make things that are complicated and difficult. And we know that the people who don't enjoy things that are complicated and difficult can just look at it on the wiki. So, like, I wouldn't make it through half of this game without the wiki.
Yeah.
I'm a casual gamer, and I'm not very good at playing video games.
Yeah. I've still been all about the new Gemcraft on Kongregate lately. That's my speed of being able to kind of puzzle through stuff.
Yeah, I played the new Hedgehog launching game. And beat it.
Oh, yeah, those are fun. Hey, let's take a music break, because now I finally have to leave.
Okay, let's do that. We'll be about 15 minutes.
Sweet.
Darling, I'm afraid to close my eyes and go in the bed. Crack the phone down over my head. weekend all so rough. Then the girl can't ever hurt you enough. Lady, lady, knock me on my knees and I can't stand up. You got the look in your eyes, smack my butt. Why are all American girls so rough? Why do all American girls act so tough? Why are all American girls so rough? I'm afraid to crack the phone down over my head. Why are all American girls so rough? Damn, the girl can't ever catch you enough. Lady, lady, knock me on my knees and I can't stand up. Got the look in your eyes, it's not my butt.
Through the wild. by a single finger. He's gonna bubble it up now. He likes to bubble it up. 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 We'll be right back.
stained the waves of this man. You don't use words like that. Stained the waves of this man. Let me get up on it. 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 Let me get up on it.
And we're back.
Okay, now I'm back.
It's okay if you have a mouthful of steak.
Actually, there's still on the grill. I should go grab the steaks. Hang on one sec.
Yeah, it's no problem. I can vamp better than you can because I have access to questions.
This is true, actually. Okay, grab it.
Toter says we need more Sabbath on KML Radio. Sabbath! Yeah. Anyway, people were dissing the BT and MDoty crossover. I know that's not for everybody, but it holds a special place in my heart. Because, I used to hate techno music. Didn't see the point. All I heard was this repetitive beat that never changed, and I went and worked security at a rave, which was bizarre, working security at a rave, because most people at a rave are on a drug that makes you really mellow and friendly, so not the hardest job in the world, but for about 8 straight hours I listened to nothing but techno music being spun by various DJs, and around hour 3 I actually sat and watched a dude switching out records. And once I saw him do that, then I could hear all the samples and all the music and all the interesting stuff he was doing over that beat and all the sounds that he was combining. So after that experience, I thought techno is actually kind of cool and I could listen to some of it. And the first time I did ecstasy, not that I would recommend anybody do illegal drugs, because they're, well, that one is particularly fucking awesome, but, you know, don't do drugs, but... First time I did ecstasy, that was one of the first things that was playing on my little stereo system, and ever since then. But there's also just something about that stream of consciousness, obviously first take thing that Doty's doing, just the, you know, the seven unders thunder, the seven thunder under, the seven thunders uttered. You know, like apocalyptic biblical shit mixed with blonde ghetto girls with, blonde English girls with ghetto names named Charisse. It's cool. I like it. Hey, it's okay if you don't like it, everybody. You don't have to like everything. It just means you're wrong.
That, kids, by the way, is how you make a good 8-minute steak. Assuming you like blue rare steak. Okay.
I do better on the stovetop with steak. Turn it up. Turn the burner up super high. Let the pan heat up. Then... 2 minutes on, or a minute on each side, then turn it down to medium, then 2 more minutes on each side, and
that's 4 minutes too long.
Beautiful. Well, that just makes it seared on the outside, and then in the middle, it's all juicy and raw.
See, I'm still okay with cool on the inside, if not cold.
Yeah.
So.
Ever since?
We bought one of those 1-gallon kegs of 1919 root beer.
Mm-hmm.
After visiting the Shell's Brewery, and they're like, yeah, there's a few places up in the city so you can buy it by the little pony keg. And I'm like, wow, fuck yeah. So we bought that, you know, 2-3 days ago for a barbecue with my parents. We had some leftover, but, you know, those big keg can thingies, is, you know, after the first day, they're flat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, this is useless now, except it's a steak marinade.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I've had steaks marinating in 1919 root beer, you know, some Lowry's, some soy, some honey, some garlic salt, minced onion, stuff like that, for like 2 days. And, dude, yeah, because it does have a hint of root beer. Like, it's fucking awesome.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Usually for steaks now, we had one of Jess's friends, who's a hell of a chef, come over, and he did a steak with just salt and pepper and putting butter on each side as he flipped it.
You can do that very well.
And that was so ridiculously tasty that I just keep doing it.
That's the, like the Anthony Bourdain school of cooking, which is don't fuck around with more than you need.
Yeah. I mean, a good marinade is is delicious every now and again, but I've gotten into just the flavor of steak as steak.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're buying good steak, the meat itself is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are like last minute, like, I want some steak, so I went to like Rainbow and bought like the grill packs that are like $5, where the steak itself is pretty weak, but if you put a good marinade on it, it's just as good as a $12 steak, you know, it doesn't matter too much, so...
We had somebody name-dropping the hell out of Mike Doty in chat. Like, I haven't talked to him in a while. I wonder how his family's doing. It's interesting.
Well, either well or they're dead.
Yep.
Just like the rest of us.
Somebody was saying that Doty hasn't put out anything decent since Soul Coughing broke up, but...
Lies.
Golden Delicious was really freaking good.
Skittish was amazing.
I have to listen to more of that, because Of his solo work, I've only got Golden Delicious, and it was fantastic.
Oh, really? Yeah, you're missing some really good stuff.
It's kind of, I think it's the same thing that I did with the Mountain Goats, where I got into an album and got everything since then, and people keep telling me I'm missing the really, really good stuff. Like, if that's not the really, really good stuff, that's amazing.
Yeah. No, I thought Skittish was basically just him and an acoustic guitar on most of the tracks, and there's little tiny bits of backup.
Hmm.
And my God, there's some amazing stuff. There's a song called "Looks" that it's just hauntingly beautiful. And apparently, he'd heard some kid on the streets of Chicago singing it, and asked him if he could cover it.
Hmm.
And the kid's like, "Yeah, all right, you know, whoever the fuck you are."
Huh.
And yeah, it's just one of my favorite songs of all time. So.
Let's see. Gargirl says, "I'm curious. My son is just breaking into the music biz. What are the RKOL policies for playing amateur music?" We are absolutely friendly towards amateur musicians and, just about anybody who wants to throw something down on tape or, anything more modern than tape. Yeah, send it over, Gargirl, m.skullhead@gmail.com.
Oh, that's right, you have a Tuesday show.
Yes.
I have tomorrow off. I should try to listen to that.
It starts at 2 o'clock.
I'll be up.
I still don't have a good... bead on what music you would find completely odious, like what you would hate to hear.
It's tricky.
I mean, I went through your iPod and I saw like a bunch of punk, but that I figure that's not all that you listen to or would be open to. But I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's weird. I mean, I'll listen to any genre if it's done by one of the exemplars of the genre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Tom Waits, one of my favorite artists, right? And about as far from punk as you can get. But holy shit, he's the best he is at what he does, whatever the hell you want to call that.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny Cash, the best country singer ever. You know? But, you know, stuff like that, where, you know, as soon as you get into the more, like, pop music stuff, where it's just kind of the very obviously label, studio, produced type crap, that's where you lose me.
Yeah.
Anyone that's trying to do something interesting, at least I can go, yeah, I like it or I don't like it based on the, you know, their output, as opposed to based on it sounds like everything else. Yeah.
I'd be interested to hear your take on the Mountain Goats. Maybe we'll have to play some of that.
I've heard I need to listen to them.
Yeah. Can you hear the music that I play?
Yes.
On show?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go out on Mountain Goats. We'll go out on the song that got me into the Mountain Goats. It was just one song that made me buy three albums or four albums. The dude puts out an album a year. And one of them was not that impressive, and the other three are fucking amazing. Oh, the chef that... Yeah, I can't talk and type at the same time. The chef that Jess knows is just a dude from her high school.
I've got a buddy that is also local here that may know him and wants to know if he knows this new guy. So I'm not going to actually say it, but I'll text it to him.
I don't know what his last name is. First name's Nate. He went to high school with Jess, and he, for a while, did a travelogue where he went across Asia searching for the perfect cup of noodles. It was like his instead-of-going-to-college thing.
Oh, nice.
But it was interesting to talk to him because he's also really into wine and is like the unpretentious wine connoisseur.
Mm-hmm.
He's like told us you don't want to ever pay more than $15 for a bottle of wine, and some of the stuff that costs $4 is great. And
that's the same advice I got from a multimillionaire.
He said, you know, when you ask what wine goes with something, if it tastes good together, drink it, because nobody's paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's watching to make sure.
Well, actually, you know Fitz.
Yeah.
His dad, like, multimillionaire.
Wow.
And, yeah, but cool enough that he doesn't give his kids money.
Hmm.
Like, they have to make it on their own. And so, you know, he's just like, he started getting into wine. He called up his dad. He's like, Dad, I found this great fucking wine. He's like, oh, really? I was going to call you and tell you. And they're both searching for the bottle, and they find it, and they were recommending the same $15 bottle of wine to each other.
Hmm.
You know, and it's just like, yeah, I could spend as much. He ordered 40 cases. His dad ordered 40 cases.
Huh.
Like, he's got that kind of scratch, whereas Fitz is buying it by the bottle. And he's like, yeah, like, even given the option of buying whatever the fuck you want, he's like, this is as good as you're going to get for the realistic, you know, how good my palate is. So, yeah, that's my theory. Like, Ravenswood is about top end for me. Their old vine stain is phenomenal if you haven't had it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we're old.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal wine. It's delicious.
Yes, it's rare.
I should say.
Fuck.
Let's see. Somebody was talking about the Mountain Goats. Yeah, the only album I can't recommend for the Mountain Goats is Get Lonely. So, for the benefit of chat, We Shall All Be Healed, fantastic, phenomenal. What are the other ones? The new one, Heretic Pride, is the new one. That was fantastic. The Sunset Tree is about 90%. But yeah, just mostly just a dude and a guitar. Really strange voice, but
Toter all agree that Johnny Cash is very close to punk in spirit, if not in sound, and Merle Haggard is cool too.
Yeah, I can go with a lot of the old school country.
Give me a guy with an acoustic guitar and a minimalist backup,
mm-hmm.
and I'm on board, you know, but give me that Garth Brooks, and, or, you know, the what passes as country these days that is just pop music with a steel guitar or fiddle included.
Yeah, it's just ZZ Top with dumber lyrics.
Yeah, and it's just like, no, thank you. You know, like, if I have to listen to another song about how some chick whose dad was abusing her mom found Jesus behind the couch,
mm-hmm.
I would seriously beat off in that six-year-old's face.
Not that you, Happy Bunny says he's never heard Palm Quarter Yajna. You're about to.
I have not, so that makes two of us.
It's one of the few bands that I'll give a pass on my please name your song after what the song says. Thank you.
Gotcha.
Palm Quarter Yajna has nothing to do with what that song's about at all.
Have you listened to Dillinger 4 at all?
Maybe a track or two.
Okay, like absolute top notch of the Minneapolis punk scene.
Hmm.
They're on Fat Wreck now. But yeah, they're one of those bands where the song titles have nothing to do with the song. Which I remember you saying you hated, but are so fucking good that you just can't help but forgive it.
It's only annoying to me when I'm trying to play the Optimus Rhyme song that goes, la 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 la, it's the same old song.
Yep.
I think I, for a while, was trying to give them a secondary label. So, like, yes, this is 3 Cogni 2, but it's actually...
La 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 la.
La 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 la, right.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, like... With Dillinger 4, your song titles are like Double Whiskey Coke, No Ice with No Spaces. Or, you know, Supermodels Drink Colt 45. Or A Floater Left with Pride in the Executive Washroom.
Yeah.
And all of them, phenomenal fucking songs, but goddamn if I can remember what to yell out when I see them.
Right.
You know.
I was glad that, I'm going to lose all cred with you at this point, but I was glad that My Chemical Romance did away with doing that. They had the annoying emo convention of, like, their album that broke them has, like, I Never Told You What I Did for a Living, The Jet Set Life Is Gonna Kill You, Thank You for the Venom. It's like, nah.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear any of that over the sound of one gigantic pussy fart.
Oh, wow.
Fucking My Chemical Romance.
They're fantastic. How much have you heard?
How much is none many?
They're really fucking good.
All right. Go out and purchase me a legal CD, and we can exchange it when I give you your perfectly legal copies of... What was I supposed to give you a copy of?
Dillinger 4?
No, there's something else, like something we talked about earlier. This is why the podcasts are handy, is we can fulfill the promises made to each other.
Like, how much media did we swear to exchange? But, I don't know, if... If you had never heard that this was a band that was on MTV and had never seen a picture of the lead singer...
And I haven't.
Then, you know, if you didn't know that 16-year-olds buy these guys' shirts at Hot Topic...
I don't know.
Yeah. If you didn't know that, they're fucking incredible. They've got, like, Queen influences and Rolling Stone stuff and Iggy Pop rolling around in there and... Yeah,
see, I
stuff.
Hate the Stones. I give Iggy Pop a pass because of the Stooges, but I don't really like the Stooges that much.
Huh.
Oh, and apparently, had I said the word queef, I would have been the best put down ever. So, did you see the queef episode of South Park? It was this season, I believe.
No, I'm a couple seasons behind on South Park.
Okay, you can watch them all for free online.
Yeah.
Check out the queef episode and how, like, the guys, basically the men of the country try to make queefing illegal because it's gross. Whereas the women are like, fuck you, we've put up with farts forever. And it's this big, huge thing. Now, imagine watching that with your 10-year-old daughter. And her going, what's a queef? That made that whole episode much more interesting.
And somebody is saying, I had a girlfriend who liked Simple Plan and Good Charlotte and My Chemical Romance. Like,
that'll never work.
I know. They got lumped in with a bunch of other shitty bands. Fair enough. But, you know, like if somebody said, I had a girlfriend who listened to nothing but Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard and Garth Brooks.
Right.
And like, Brooks and Dunn, you'd be like, there are differences in quality there. Don't lump them all together.
Yeah.
I just like good music. I always say, don't send me any music that sucks.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, that's the thing. If you are so good at what you do, even if it's in a genre I would normally avoid, I will be compelled to listen. You know?
And the thing is, like, occasionally a good band will get into that MTV pop scene. You know, like, Soul Coughing was on MTV.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with being on MTV.
But that means that there are...
In general, their selection process is different than mine.
Well, what happens then is you've got 16-year-old girls who, back in the day, who knew Soul Coughing and the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC because they just bought everything that was on MTV, and you'd go, oh, they're one of those bands.
Yeah, poor Happy Bunny is asking what happened to Chief on South Park.
What happened to Chef on South Park is Isaac Hayes is a Scientologist.
And then he died.
Yeah. Well, he got
the more tragic of the two is that he was a Scientologist.
Yeah.
If you need to find out anything you don't already know about Scientology, go to Operation Clambake, which is a website that will let you in on all the higher level secrets they don't tell you until you've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars, where you find out about the aliens and living in volcanoes and watching movies of Jesus.
Shit, man, just go to Wikipedia. They've got a list
of... Well, they keep re-editing Wiki, so you need a website that is not edited by everyone.
When I looked at it, though, they had, like, the space opera thing where L. Ron Hubbard's idea was that all science fiction was actually just you remembering your previous alien lives, and they would have these meetings where they would put people in hypnosis and they would recall their previous alien lives, like, I remember I was a robot on a mining vessel 3 billion years ago, and somebody shot me in the head with an arrow and I fell into the liquid magma, like... That actually happened if you're a Scientologist. That is part of your religion as much as, you know, Jesus rising from the grave is for a Christian.
Right.
And we could argue whether or not that's weirder, but, you know.
Yeah. No, Scully, if you have any leftover Bill jokes floating around in your head, especially if they're geeky, I could use the help. Huh. We have our upcoming show this month is the Geek Spectacular. In which all jokes have to be geek-related, and I just got a text from someone who's at the meeting that I'm missing.
Yeah.
saying, hey, we're, you know, we're planning out the shit, wear your cup. So, you know, I'm just saying my future progeny are at stake here, so.
You know, you should have thought of that before you had that vasectomy, man.
Shh! I want to keep the stakes high, so you write me jokes.
Right.
So.
Well, you've still got nerve endings down there, so.
Exactly, that's the thing. If the pain does not seem to diminish despite the fact that the children are not forthcoming.
You don't get the, like, force pain of millions of voices crying out in terror and being suddenly silenced. But you get the good old-fashioned nerve-ending pain.
Okay, that was well played, sir.
I'll see what I can do in between...
I'm going to try to write that as a joke. Because I know at least one other player has had a vasectomy, so...
I just think it's interesting that when you masturbate, a puff of air comes out, that's all.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like coffin dust. Although, oddly enough, I did get two children only after having the vasectomy. So, mm-hmm. Apparently, you know, vasectomy, I'm doing it wrong.
But you got it the same way that, you know, people do without having sex. You got them by having a van and some candy.
True.
And I don't think that counts.
Yeah.
Let's see, we got, questions? We have answers.
I was going to say, are there questions, or have we just been rambling in lieu of questions?
I've been throwing some questions in every now and again, and there are some that anybody that sent in a good idea for gameplay tweaks, I'm putting in a notepad so that I can hand them over to Jake. Jake, who, I think the thing he was going to do today got moved to tomorrow, so he's just sitting in dev.
Oh, I thought he was going to the Adam Carolla podcast.
Yeah, but apparently his segment's going to be taped tomorrow, not today.
Oh, see, I thought the idea was that it was always going to be taped tomorrow. It's just that they had to drive to L.A. To do it, and it was either they could leave like at 5 a.m. to get there, or they could leave tonight and not have
that's entirely possible.
6-hour drive. That was my understanding from listening to the last episode. Yeah.
He was just saying in Dev that he felt kind of silly for missing the show because he probably could have done it. He's not listening to the show.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm starting to get a little uncomfortable tonight. He's been sitting here for 2 hours going, Billy, I turn over the reins to this. Shifty Steve points out, nature finds a way. Oh, damn it, I snorted. That was really funny.
That's that. For a while, that was my entire Jeff Goldblum impression. Life gets out. Life finds a way. Life. Nature. Life. And nature will find a way.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
My Jeff Goldblum impression sounds a lot like my Jake impression.
Seriously, you need to help me find a decent image that we can turn into just black and white so we can make Jeff Goldblum is watching you goop stickers.
You want to bring it back?
Honestly, I think that's fun.
I never had a chance, yeah.
And they're so goddamn cheap to make.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, Contagious Graphics will do like 500 stickers for $40.
Yeah.
$40 for that joke is worth it to me.
Let's see. Fnordiscord says, guys, here's a possible topic. Stem cell injections into boobs increase cup size by one every treatment.
Absolutely worth it.
Yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah.
And not because it's a boob thing, just because, I don't care. Use stem cells for whatever they'll work for. Like, I'm down with that.
I don't understand the whole process. Once somebody explained to me, like, okay, so you have people who are trying to get fertilization treatments. They make 20 embryos just in case something goes wrong.
Right.
They put 3 of them in the vagina, and the rest of them they throw in the fucking dumpster.
There are actually Christian couples that take those and have them inseminated and implanted because they also believe that it's killing a child.
Yeah. Yeah, but on the
very few. Yeah. But yeah, that is exactly it.
That's on the lunatic fringe. But yeah, people are acting like science is creating embryos just to harvest them. Like that's not happening. What's happening is crazy people who want too many fucking kids are, you know, they're like, well, we couldn't get pregnant the regular way, so what we'd like is a litter of 8 kids. So could you make 30 embryos for me? And
yeah, I'd like a litter of 8 puppies that the state will then have to pay for.
Yeah, so something like that. I wouldn't go that far, but it's still, it's like...
I'm sorry, is that not exactly what happened?
Well, yeah. But it interests me that...
My libertarian streak showing, but fuck that bitch.
Yeah. Well, she's... That fertility doctor and Michael Jackson's plastic surgeon should just be continuously roasted on a spit for a couple of years before they let them die. Like, how the fuck are you a doctor and, like, oh, you want to have 8 kids? Well, I guess we could, like, chamber off your uterus and put it in 8. Have you got any family who are going to support you? Have you got any income? Have you got... Oh, you already have 6 kids? Huh, well, okay, let's do it. Sure, the state will pay for the fucking operation and for the care of your children.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great... What, you're a crazy bitch who's had plastic surgery to look more like Angelina Jolie? Much the better. Let me get my turkey baster.
You're the victim.
Ugh. No, Sarah Palin's the victim. All right.
Do you notice we made it to, like, within 7 minutes of the end of the show before we started doing things that are probably going to piss people off?
I just find it interesting that the crowd that is so into having a bunch of kids that they do in vitro fertilization is also the crowd that's against stem cell research.
My friend Merrick reminds me, vagina, it's not a clown car.
Yes. It's also not just for breakfast anymore.
God damn it.
What else? We got 7 minutes. I can fill 7 minutes. Patmo98 says, please add a familiar closet so I can put my unused familiars out of the way.
I believe that's called a terrarium.
Well, I think what he's talking about, and I'm a little bit on board with that, is having, like, say, you can put your familiars from your terrarium into your display case and back. So when you go to equip the 3 familiars that you use, you don't have to scroll through the 60 that you don't use on a regular basis.
But don't they bubble up based on experience?
Yeah, but not after an ascension.
I thought they did. I thought they were still ranked by experience over multi-ascension. Like, kills is what ranks them in the current ascension, maybe. But I thought overall experience is what ranked them in general. So if they're the same 3 you use, should be the same 3 on top.
Yeah, some people like to keep their... Some people have obsessive-compulsive disorder.
True.
And they would rather...
Mine just doesn't extend to KOL. Mine extends to alphabetizing my CDs and...
Right.
Separating my books by genre on the shelf.
It was interesting alphabetizing my CDs for what will probably be the last time. I got some new CD racks and mounted them on the wall and put all my CDs up there and realized that I probably will buy maybe 10 more CDs in my lifetime.
Yeah.
It's like, I haven't touched those CDs since I ripped them. So.
Exactly. Once I put all mine on my iPod, then they went into paper case boxes from Kinko's, just marked like A through D, D through H, H through R, you know, whatever it was.
I like to see them on the wall. You know, it makes a good little art installation, I guess. But
yeah,
as it is, only bands that got grandfathered in, like, they might be giants. I have every single physical CD of theirs. I will get the next one that comes out, if they ever make another CD for fucking grown-ups again.
Yeah, and I do the same thing with, like, you know, Rancid or No Effects or whatever. Yeah. Like, there are certain bands, like, the day it comes out, I run out to Cheapo and buy it. But, you know, other than that, honestly, though, I found that, like, you know, if you wait for the right sales for most of the punk labels, it's cheaper to just have them send you 20 CDs in the mail.
Right.
Than it would be to go to the iTunes store. Like, Fat Wreck usually once a summer is like, alright, like, pick any 4 CDs, $15.
Hmm.
Like, okay, that beats going to iTunes or whatever else. And, like, honestly, you know, this, everybody's probably going, but you could BitTorrent that shit for free. And, like, you're right, I could. Except that I want to live in a world where if you're really good at being an artist, you get paid to be that artist, so you can keep producing really good art.
Yeah.
And so that's why I buy movies and CDs, is, like, I, you know, yeah, we could say, okay, for now on, if you make art, it's free. But how much art would these bands or artists or movie makers make if they didn't get paid for it and had to have a 9-to-5 at Burger King in the meantime?
Yeah.
So, like, I pay for my shit.
For some reason...
Yeah. But that's my reason.
For some reason, movies are on kind of a different tier for me. I will totally pay for music because I can pay less than I would pay for a CD and have, from Amazon and from iTunes now, actual MP3s that I can do stuff with. And so it's like, it's the right price point, and I feel good about doing it, but there's no easy way to get... So, like, rent a movie fast and easy. Like, Netflix has a delay on it, and...
Like, a day.
Yeah.
I mean, how bad is that?
Like, I don't know.
I'm just saying, like...
Oh, my God. But, yeah,
that
I...
That also assumes that you can watch and return a movie, which, you know...
Which I can't.
Yeah, exactly. Which, again, accountability, my friend.
Yeah, but, you know, like, because of that. And also with movies, it's like, I know for a fact that regardless of what Stuntman Bob says in his public service announcement, well, he's still got the fuck paid.
Yeah, they get paid by the day, not by the product moved.
And
you know, none of those guys have a deal where they're getting paid based on the number of units sold.
And me downloading a movie that I only want to watch once and then delete is not giving the terrorists the money that they need to overthrow America.
To sell pot,
you know,
to teenagers.
Yeah. For me, it is the same. Like, you own the Nightmare on Elm Street series on DVD.
Feasibly, you could come to my house and watch them.
Yeah, or I could borrow the whole set and watch them at my house. So, let's just pretend I did that.
No, I don't. And it's weird because I have the same gray area with, if I go to your house with my iPod and you're like, oh, I've got these two or three bands I think you dig, you should listen to an album. I don't get the same sketchy feeling if I just plug in my iPod and grab an album and go, okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah,
like, that doesn't bug me. But if I go on BitTorrent,
right,
or whatever else, like, I'll be like, nope, this is wrong.
But that's like a one-to-one.
I don't know what the difference is, but I think it's the same difference of you could have just dubbed me a tape if it was still 1989.
And that's like a one-to-one kind of thing.
And but I guess that's what it is. It's that whole theory of, like, are you able to make duplicates for your buddies, just like you always have, or are you making duplicates for 500,000 strangers on Napster?
The other thing with music is I need some kind of limiting factor. So if I were to say, I want to get into this band that has 10 CDs out, oh, here's a torrent of all 10 CDs.
Exactly.
I'm never ever going to catch up. So having to pay the $10 for each CD it makes it so I'll actually listen to the stuff that I get.
That's the other thing, too, is I don't listen to that much music anymore. Yeah. I find myself spending most of my time with my iPod on podcasts. Because I feel like if I'm not learning something, I'm missing out on what I could be spending my time doing, which sounds incredibly lame.
I'll still, like, most of the music I listen to is either driving or especially working on Kingdom stuff. You just have to have something playing in the background to distract me until I do stuff.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, like, maybe not. For, limiting factors. Like, I got the entire Batman the Animated Series on BitTorrent back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched 4 of them.
And see, I bought them on DVD, and I have the first 3 seasons. And sat and watched every single episode.
And if I had them on DVD, I probably would.
Yep. No, it makes a difference. It's
just
weird.
Gotta pay
like,
for
I don't have the same attachment and obligation. When you're like, I got it for free, I can throw it away and get it again for free.
And it's not staring you in the face. You don't have a physical thing sitting out there.
Yeah, it makes me sad that, like, I've seen, you know, 70 movies in the last couple months since I got Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And my DVD shelf is now expanded. Like, I'm trying to get over that false need to see the copy of it sitting on the shelf even though I haven't watched it in 4 years.
Yeah, that's gonna be sad. Where
that habit is tricky.
You'll walk into somebody's house and, you know, in 2 or 3 years from now, and instead of a wall of DVDs that you can look at and see what movies they're into, or even like in my house where I can look at them and see what movies I've watched and what I might like to watch tonight, you just have everything you want, anything ever made, streaming for you for a subscription fee.
Right. Which is honestly better.
It is better, but what happens with like the Netflix streaming? Like, let's watch a movie tonight. So we go on to the Netflix streaming, and 3 hours later, it's time for bed, and we haven't picked a movie.
Yeah.
So that whole limiting factor thing, there's something to that.
Yeah. I mean, the other problem with that, too, though, is, like, I mean, the first time we went to your house, I just walked, the first thing I do is walk to your bookshelf.
Yeah.
And inevitably, what are you doing? I can just go judging you.
Yeah.
And like,
but then you have something you can talk
about.
I
check out your CD shelf, I check out your bookshelf, I check out your movie shelf. And I form opinions that may be baseless, but I do that to get a read on people. And that will just be a thing of the past.
Yeah, and then you can also know, like, oh, they have a whole bunch of Neil Gaiman. Like, hey, I like Neil Gaiman, let's talk about Neil Gaiman for a while. That's
right, yeah. And so, like, what are you going to do? Go to people's house, like, hey, let me check out your iTunes.
Yeah.
I think that's where, like, getting those, buying a few LPs of your favorite albums and framing them and putting them on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
you know, preserves some of that.
We can at least have some indication of what your tastes are.
Yeah, so it's like, don't worry, I'm still cool. See?
Look, I have an Echo and the Bunnymen CD.
Yeah, like, I've got a rare version of a NoFX album. I've got a Johnny Cash album. I think, like, Rock and Roll High School and something else. And it's like, okay, that tells you about all you need to know.
Right. Except the whole pedophile thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I feel like that's a second date kind of thing.
Right. You don't want to put that right up there. All right, and on that note, we finally hit pedophilia again.
And that's the story of Jesus.
So we're headed out. Hang out, and we'll play this Mountain Goat song, and I Speculum is up next. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Good night, everybody.